want to say to you, if you don't go any place on Sunday,
there's a hearty welcome here at 11 o'clock for our family Bible hour and Sunday school classes for all. We'd be glad to have you then. At 7 o'clock in the evening is our service here also. And then we have a prayer meeting and Bible study on Thursday night at 7:30. If you have any questions again tonight about the story or about how to find the places in God's Word and you know how to read, or if you have a question how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. In last night's story, we found out how that the Lord Jesus, at the Last Supper, instituted the Lord's Supper. It was his dying request, yes, that we would remember him by taking the bread and the cup, that bread that speaks of his body that was broken for us, and that cup that speaks of the blood that was shed for us. I want to say, my friends, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you've examined yourself and confessed your sins, if you have done after you've been saved even, that we have, as we talked about last night, short accounts with the Lord, then it's your privilege and your responsibility to be at the Lord's Supper. And last night we talked about the things that we can remember there about him. It's a remembrance service. It's not a service where you come to get something. It's a service where you come to give him the glory and the honor and the worship that's due to his name. Now, when the Lord Jesus was at the Last Supper, he spoke these words that are recorded in John chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me lifteth up his heel against me. Now I tell you this before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Over in the book of Matthew, we read these words that the Lord Jesus spoke at the Last Supper, and he said, I say unto you, and as they did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that eateth bread with me lifteth up his heel against me. I want to start that verse again, all right? And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. When he spoke those words, the disciples began to say, Lord, is it I? And he said, verily I say unto you, he that eateth bread with me, to whom? Well, I'm sorry, I'm having problems with it. Verily I say unto you, he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better for him if he had never been born. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said, Thou hast said. Now, going back over to the book of Matthew once again, or the Gospel of John, I should say, we read these words. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped. And when he dipped, he gave the sop to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus, That thou doest, do thou quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent the Lord had spoken to him of, because some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus has said, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or else, he had said, give something to the poor. And after he had received the sack, Judas departed and went out, and it was night. Then Jesus said unto them, after he was departed, the Son of Man is glorified. Yes? He went on to say, and therefore a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love one for another. Now there's a few things from that portion of Scripture that I have quoted I want to tell you about in regards to Judas. That once again, the Lord Jesus gave him an opportunity to receive him. Because what the Lord Jesus did is he offered him the sack. Now, what the sack was, I am not sure. It could have been a piece of bread, or it could have been a piece of meat that he carved and dipped into the broth. But the thing that we do know is that the broth was that from a lamb. For what they were eating that night at the Last Supper was the roasted lamb that speaks of the Passover, Jesus Christ, who was our lamb, who was giving his life for us. Now, what he was doing is he was offering to Judas for the last time a gift. Take it, receive me. But what we read that Judas did is after he had received the sop, he got up from where he was sitting, and the Word of God says that he went out, and it was night. And that's when we read that Jesus said this after he had departed, now is the Son of God glorified, and I am glorified in him. If God be glorified in me, God shall also glorify himself. And so we find that Judas, he walked right out into the night. Oh, listen, he walked away from the light. And Jesus said these words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But Judas, he had rejected Jesus Christ as his Savior. He had rejected him as the light of the world. And what he had done is he had gone out into the darkness. Now it was here at these closing hours at this Last Supper that the Lord Jesus spoke very strongly about the fact that he was going to die. And the sad part about it is that we find that the disciples had an argument among themselves saying, who is going to be the greatest when we get into the kingdom? It was after that also that you will find that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter, as I mentioned last night. Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, or when you turn back to me, strengthen the brethren. Now, Peter boasted at this time that he would die with the Lord Jesus. Yes, he was willing to go to prison if that was necessary. Yes, Peter boasted, but the Lord Jesus said this to him, Peter, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times. And so we find that after that conversation that they sang a song and they went out from that room. Now the place where the Lord Jesus led the 11 disciples was to the Garden of Gethsemane, which he had often come to with them for prayer. When they got to the edge of the garden, the Lord Jesus said to 11 of them, you stay here while
Jesus said to eight of them, I'm sorry, you stay here while I go with Peter, James, and John a little further in the garden. Peter, James, and John, on two other occasions, had the privilege of going alone with the Lord Jesus. I suppose some of you will remember the time that they went to the home of Jairus. His little girl that was 12 years of age had died. And the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John into that room. And the Lord Jesus said to that little girl to arise. And he gave her back her life. Yes, what they saw was the Lord Jesus as the saving Savior. He gave life. And that, my friends, is what he wants to do for you, is to give to you eternal life. Then there was another occasion where we find that Peter, James, and John were asked to go with the Lord Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, there they saw the Lord Jesus as the shining Savior. So first of all, they saw him as a saving Savior. Then they found him as a shining Savior. And here now, we see him as the suffering Savior. Yes, the following day, the Lord Jesus, he went as a lamb to the slaughter. And he went silently. But here, they saw him in his suffering as he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, they noticed that the Lord Jesus was troubled. And I think it's most interesting when you read the Gospel of John, as you start with chapter 11, to read how the Lord Jesus was troubled. He was troubled in the spirit as he stood outside that grave of Lazarus. And there we find that he wept with the sisters, Mary and Martha. But he had said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And up from the grave he arose. And then you'll remember also that in John chapter 12, when the Lord Jesus was thinking about his death, of how he was going to die, he was also troubled as well in the spirit. In John chapter 13, he was troubled also because of the fact in that chapter we read that the Lord Jesus was troubled because he knew that someone was going to betray him. He knew that Judas would do that. And then when we get to John chapter 14, we read these words where the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, how can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we find that there in the end of that chapter, in verse 27, Jesus said these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so we find that the Lord Jesus, yes, he was troubled when he came and he said to those three disciples, you stay here while I go a little further. Watch and pray. And so the Lord Jesus went a little further and he left those three disciples behind and he came to a place where he knelt down and began to pray. Yes, the Lord Jesus prayed, and his prayer was something like this. Father, if there is any other way for fellows and girls and men and women to get to heaven without me going to the cross, then let that way be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so we find that the Lord Jesus, after he made that prayer, he got up and he went to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, where he had left them. And lo and behold, he had found that they were fast asleep. And the Lord Jesus said to them, couldn't you just watch and pray for 1 hour? Yes, the Lord Jesus awoke them. And then what he did is he went back again and he prayed the second time. When he prayed the second time, his prayer was much like the first. And he said, if there's any other way for fellows and girls and men and women to get to heaven without me going to the cross, then let that way be done. But you see, sin has got to be paid for. And the Lord Jesus said, I am willing to do that, and your will be done. And the Word of God tells us, as he prayed the second time, that he prayed so earnestly that great sweat, like blood-like sweat, came down his face. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus knew what was going to happen when he went to the cross. Well, we find that he got up, went to the disciples, and they were sleeping again. And then we find that the Lord Jesus went back and he prayed for the third time. Now it's most interesting to look at that word sweat, because that word in the King James is only found three times in the Word of God. The first time that we read the word sweat in the Word of God is in the Garden of Eden, where we find that because Adam and Eve sinned, God said to them, what's going to happen now? You're going to be cast out of the garden, and you are going to have to work and toil, and it will bring sweat to the face. Yes, it's because of sin that we get sweat on our face when we work. But now we see that sin is being paid for. The Lord Jesus is willing to go to the cross, and he has the sweat on his face. It's blood-like sweat that comes down his face. Tonight, in our sword drill, we read a verse in Ezekiel chapter 44 that says this, that the priests are given garments that cause no sweat. If you were here the other night, you heard me say that when you get saved, what happens to you is you become a priest. And we have direct access to God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for us all. And so you see, what has happened is that when you become a believer, you become a priest. And we are clothed with garments of salvation, as the Word of God says. Yes, we are priests, and we function as royal priests to show forth his praises, and also we should function as holy priests to give him the praise and the honor that's due to his name. And the royal priest is more to do with our service, where the holy priest has got to do with our worship. So we have both aspects of a priest. But this is the great part, that we are dressed up in garments that cause no sweat. You see, my friends, you and I, we have nothing to sweat about, because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Yes, he sweated out. We have nothing to sweat about at all. And we're dressed in garments of salvation. Well, the Lord Jesus, after he prayed the second time, he went back again. And when he went back, he prayed. And it was a very simple prayer, that he was willing now to go, to take that cup of suffering. Yes, and to die for our sins. And so the Lord Jesus, when he got up
from that third time of praying, he went to where the disciples were once again. And he said to Peter, James, and John, who were fast asleep, he said to them, "Sleep on now, for mine hour is come." Yes, the Lord Jesus knew that the appointed time for him to die had come. And he said to the disciples, "You can sleep now. You can sleep on." And he went to them and told them those words. Well, we find that the Lord Jesus, when he went and told them they could sleep, why, they were wide awake. These disciples now were wide awake because what had happened is this, that they could hear the sound of a group of men coming, and they saw torches and lanterns as they were coming into the garden. Yes, you know what was happening. It was Judas, as Peter tells us in the book of Acts, who was a guide to them that took Jesus. Yes, Judas, he was leading this group, yes, to the Lord Jesus. And what he had said to them was this, "The one that I go and kiss, that is the one that you want to take." And so we find that as they came into the garden, this crowd, which was led by Judas, that Judas came right over to where the Lord Jesus was. And there, Judas, he kissed him on the cheek. Most interesting how the Lord responded to this. For the Lord Jesus said to him, "Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" Oh, the Lord Jesus knew what the kiss meant. It was a kiss of betrayal. And the Lord Jesus, he called him a friend. Yes, it was fulfillment of that portion of Scripture in Psalms 41 where it says, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Yes, the Word of God predicted years before that Judas was going to betray him with a kiss. And after Judas did betray him with a kiss, the Word of God says that the Lord Jesus went to where these men were that had come with their lanterns and their torches to take him away. And Jesus said to the people that came, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And when they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth," the Lord Jesus said, "I am he." And when the Lord Jesus said that he was the one they were looking for, yes, that he was Jesus of Nazareth, why, he spoke those words, and the Word of God tells us that all of them, they fell down backwards. Now here in my picture, my artist has them bowing. But you see, the Word of God tells us this very strongly, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Yes, every knee should bow. And then it says in the book of Romans, every knee shall bow. I want to say to you, my friends, again, that God's Word is very clear, that tonight is the night that you should bow before Him, because the day is going to come, whether you want to or whether you don't want to, you all are going to bow. Yes, we will bow before Him. So now is the time to bow so that you can have eternal life and you know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Well, we find that Peter, when he saw that this crowd was coming, he got very excited. And what he did is he took his sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Yes. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Put up the sword, Peter. Put it up. Put it away." And what the Lord Jesus did after Peter had cut that man's ear off, why, the Lord Jesus did a tremendous miracle and the ear was put back on. I think that's exciting because the fact, even in these closing hours before his death, the Lord Jesus was giving this man another chance to know who Jesus was and also to hear his words. He could hear the word of God. Yes, then it was after that that the Bible tells us that they took the Lord Jesus, they bound him, and they led him away. Now, I want to make it very clear to you, my friends, if the Lord Jesus wasn't willing to go, they could have never taken him. You see, there was a time previous to this that they tried to kill the Lord Jesus by pushing him over a cliff. Yes, but the Lord Jesus escaped. There was a time when they tried to stone him to death, and there they couldn't do it either. For the Lord Jesus, he escaped. But now was his appointed time. Now his hour had come. And the Lord Jesus willingly let them take him and lead him away. Then we read that all of the disciples, they fled and they forsook him. Yes, all the disciples fled. And the Lord Jesus was led alone. They took the Lord Jesus off to the place to try him. And it's very true that we read that John and Peter followed afar off. And John, when he came to the place where the trial was going to be, he was known by the high priest, and therefore John was allowed to come in. While they were doing that, we find that Judas, he also took notice that the Lord Jesus was condemned. And Judas, he now decided that what he was going to do was repent, and that he took the 30 pieces of silver that he had gotten for the bargain price of showing them where Jesus would be. And he went back to the chief priest and the elders. And what he said was this: I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And he took the pieces of silver and cast them down on the temple floor. And there he departed and went out. Yes, Judas now, he realized that he had betrayed innocent blood. But he didn't ask for forgiveness of sins. He just, we find, what he did is he brought those silver pieces to them and he cast them down on the floor. And the Word of God tells us that the priest and the elders, that they took it and they said, it is not lawful for us to take these pieces of silver and put it into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. Yes, and so they took counsel together, and what these men did after that Judas did it and cast it down, they took counsel together, and they bought the potter's field, the Berry Strangers Inn. So it was known throughout all of Jerusalem as the field of blood. Yes, those 30 pieces of silver that he loved, the money, he now cast it down and he departed and went out. Now, Peter, at that same time, we find that Peter arrived, and when he came to the place where they were trying the Lord Jesus, that there was a maiden that answered the door at the gate. And when she saw him, she said, oh, you're one of them. And Peter denied and said, I don't know the man. And then we find that apparently, as you read the Gospels on this account that he followed the young girl as she went to the fire that they had, where the men were gathered round about planning the death of the Lord Jesus. And there Peter sat down with them. And apparently, as I read the scriptures, that what they did is they began to gang up on him. For you see, the next two times that Peter denied was done by a group. And they said to him, "You're one of them." And when they said that he was one of them, Peter, he began to swear. And he said, "I tell you, I don't know the man." And he denied him for the second time. But then we find again that they said to him, "Oh, you're one of them, all right. Why, your very speech betrays you, that you come from Galilee. You're one of his disciples." And once again we find that Peter got very angry and upset, and he said, "I tell you, I don't know the man." And as he swore, saying he did not know the man, we find that all of a sudden the cock or the rooster crowed. Yes, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus at that hour, he came out. Yes, he came out from the trial. And he looked at Peter, and Peter saw that look. And the Word of God tells us that Peter, he left. And he wept bitterly. But Judas, remember, he had departed too. And the Word of God tells us about Judas that what he did is he left that temple. And when he did, he went out and he hung himself. Yes, and his bowels gushed out. Yes, there he went out and hung himself from a tree. Now it's most interesting as you stop to think about Judas and the Lord Jesus, and as you see Judas as he plunged into his death, I don't have that over far enough, that he plunged into his death, we can make a few comparisons between the two. You see, the one thing that we see is both of them bought a field. Yes? Jesus bought a field. We read about it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And there we find that the Lord Jesus had a treasure in the field. It was the Jews. And Jesus bought that field to give them life. Yes. And here we find that both of them are connected to a tree. The Lord Jesus, he died on a tree. Judas hung from a tree. Yes, we find also that both of them, as we read the account, that both of them had a field and it was connected with the clay. For you see, we find that this was the potter's field that Judas bought. But what we read tonight in Isaiah chapter 64, where Jesus, or the Word of God, says that he is the potter. We are the clay. And what he wants to do is mold us and make us a vessel fit for his use. Yes, what a great thing that we can be a vessel for him. We are the clay. He is the potter. Oh, tonight that you would yield yourself and let him have control of your life. Peter, he left also that place. And he wept bitterly. And he found out what they had done to the Lord Jesus, how they spit on his face, how they slapped him, how they took cords and they whipped his back so that his back was like a plowed field. Yes, Peter wept bitterly. Now I suppose that most everyone here knows that the Lord Jesus, after he died, he was buried. And then 3 days later, he arose from the dead. It was that early Sunday morning that you'll remember. that the women came with the spices that they had prepared to put on the body of the Lord Jesus. Mary of Bethany wasn't with them. She already gave him the spices. She already anointed him. So she wasn't among the women. But when the women came, you'll remember that they found that the stone was rolled away. And they saw two angels. And the angels said that he was alive, that he was risen from the dead. And those angels also told them to go and tell the disciples and Peter that he arose from the dead. Oh, to think of the grace and love of the Lord, that the angels said, go and tell Peter, as well as the disciples, that his name was mentioned. And then we find that as you read the story, that the first one that the Lord appeared to after he arose was Mary Magdalene. Yes, she was the first to see the Lord Jesus after he arose from the dead. And then the Lord Jesus appeared unto those women that came. But the Word of God tells us that the third one that the Lord Jesus appeared to was Peter. Oh, as I told you, Peter, he wept bitterly. And as he had heard about the fact that the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, Peter more than likely would have thought, will he ever forgive me if I see him? Oh, Peter must have thought about it over and over. As he thought what he did, how he denied the Lord and asked the question, will the Lord Jesus forgive me? Then, even if he will forgive me, can I forgive myself? We don't know where Peter went. But my artist and I decided to put Peter down by the water. And there Peter was in miserable shape. As he wept, as he thought about what he had done. And there alone, we find that the Word of God says that Peter was the third one that the Lord Jesus appeared to. What the conversation was all about, I don't know. The Word of God doesn't tell us that. But what we do know is that Peter was forgiven. And you might say, how do you know that? Oh, he was forgiven, all right. Because you see, it was after this event that we find that the disciples were out on their boat and they were fishing. And the Lord Jesus appeared on the shore. And when the disciples recognized that it was the Lord Jesus that was on the shore, why, the Word of God tells us that Peter got out of that boat and he ran to the Lord Jesus as quick as he could. He rushed to get to the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something, my friends. If he wasn't forgiven, he wouldn't have wanted to be close to the Lord Jesus. Oh, you see, but he was forgiven. And he loved the Lord. And he ran to meet him. If you're not forgiven, my friends, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you're not going to want to see him. You're not going to want to run to him. But as I said before, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Whether you want to or whether you don't want to, now is the time to bow before it's too late. Because you see, if you meet him in the glory and he knows that you've never received him because he knows all things, he'll say to you, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you know him, oh, what a day of rejoicing it's going to be when we're going to spend all eternity with him. Every eye closed and head bowed.